The new football coach at Triton Regional High School, Paul Sobolewski, is joining us here on MSONewsSports.com. And, Coach, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Brand new, just announced today from the Triton Athletic Department and Athletic Director Tim Alberts. But, Paul, first up, I guess tell us about the journey that kind of brings you to Triton football for the, I guess, would be the fall of 2023.
I saw the job get advertised about a month ago, and I know that the Cape Ann League is a very good competitive league, rich in tradition. You have so many great programs, North Reading, Amesbury, Newburyport, you know, the list goes on, and it was just really appealing to me to get back to a program that carries three levels of football: freshman, JV, varsity, and a program that seems to be on the rise right now. So it was I felt like it was a pretty good fit for me.
Tell me about your coaching philosophy. What would that be? I know that it would some of that would alter with your personnel, some of it doesn't, but maybe share a bit of that with us, how do you approach coaching?
I mean, from a coaching standpoint, we're big on commitment, dedication, and discipline. Those are three of the prime bullets that we kind of concentrate on. We want kids that are multi-sport athletes. I think we're in an era now where if you want to play a college sport, college recruiters love to see multi-sport athletes, kids competing all school season. That's important to me. From a football standpoint, our offensive philosophy, wide open 4 or 5 receiver sets. We like to play fast. We like to keep our opponents on their heels and not let them adjust on the fly. So we try to play really quick. And defensively, we're a hybrid 4-3 defense, and we like to come after teams and play aggressive style of football, 11 men to the ball, and you know, it's yielded some success over the years, and you know, we believe in it.
You know, Paul, when you you look at your philosophy, your coaching, and so on, where do you get your influences from, like particular coaches? I mean, I know what you know. You pick little things up from a variety of different people, but maybe you could share a few of those with us. It could be a high school coach, a youth coach, college coach, whatever. Where did you pick up some of your coaching knowledge?
I think the first and foremost, the most important person that I'd have to point out is Mike Cella. Coach Cella was the head coach at Revere High School in the 90s, and he gave me my starting coach. And he taught me really how to treat student-athletes with class and with dignity, and, you know, that was really important. It taught me the right way to do things when it comes to how to treat your players, first and foremost. I think from a X's and O's standpoint, I learned a lot from my biggest rival, the late Rocky Nelson from Woburn. He was our arch rival. Winchester Woburn's one of the oldest Thanksgiving rivalries in Massachusetts, but Rocky and I became really good friends. We met a lot in the off season, and I learned from him, and you know, he's just a great influence on me and a lot of the members of my staff, and just a class act. And he taught me how to be a good sport on the field, win or lose. And you know, we had some great battles, and you know, I really learned a lot. I worked camps with him in the off season. Just a great guy and somebody that I looked up to and respected. And, you know, honestly, somebody that I miss to this day. So, you know, Rocky played a big part in my career, even though he was such a fierce rival for us.
I want to follow up on that because I did not know Rocky, but I spent a lot of time here on the North Shore and talking to coaches and you know, reading about past history of coaches. So Rocky was kind of right out of our area, but a legend. So if you were playing a Rocky Nelson team from Woburn, what was that like? What were his teams like?
Just blue collar, tough kids. They came to play, whether they were 11-0 or 0-11. You knew that Rocky Nelson coach team. They were coming after you, but they were going to do it the right way. They were gonna hit you with multiple players, but they were gonna put their hand down and pick you up out of the dirt and say, "Let's do it again." That's just the type of guy he was. I played for the University of Cincinnati, and you had to be ready. They were well coached. They were big. They were physical. And the best example of that, I think, go back to 2009. It was one of Winchester's better seasons. We went into that game 8-2. They were 2-8, and they gave us all we could handle. I think we beat them 7-0. So that's the type of coach he was. He was going to have his team ready, regardless of their record. And that really taught me a lot. You have to have your kids week in and week out believing in the system and forget about the record. Each week is a championship game, and that's kind of the philosophy he took, and we follow that a little bit too.
Yeah. Paul, maybe you could tell our listeners maybe share a couple of highlight games for us as a head coach, whether they be championship games or other games. Maybe just a couple, just to give our listeners a little insight on a game or two, or a key game or important game in your coaching career, obviously prior now to coming to Triton.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger ones was 2018 in the Super Bowl at Gillette, even though we came up on the short end of it. We went into that game like with four seniors playing a very, very well-coached wing T team out of Fitchburg, St. Bernard's, coached by Tom Bingham. In fact, there's a documentary on Amazon Prime about his program. That was a highlight game for our program at that time because...
Let me just update our listeners. And for Paul, that was while you were at Pope John, right? Pope John.
That was at Pope John.
Yeah, okay.
Correct.
No, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And, in losing, we learned a lot about our team and our program and what we needed to do to get to the next level. And I think every good team has to lose a game under those circumstances before they can win one. I think sometimes it takes a loss to learn how to win a big game. So that, on the losing end, that was a big game in my career, even though we lost. Then I go back to our philosophy is we're going to play every minute of the game. We're never going to quit. And I go back to 2008 against Swampscott, another very well-coached team by Steve Dombowski. We were down 29-17 with 3:30 left in the game. We were able to go down and score, cut it to 29-24, decided to kick away and play defense, made a big fourth down stop and ran our 2-minute offense and scored with no time left to beat a team that went on a deep playoff run. And I think that early in my coaching career set the tone that our teams, whether we're winning or losing, we're going to play to the final whistle and find a way to scrap back into the game.
Would you say your offensive style is similar to what Coach Dombowski established or started at Swampscott and now continues at Milton?
It's very similar, yes.
All right, fair enough. I want to ask you this, too. It seems to me that in my interviewing over the years, I've never asked a coach this particular question, but off the record, it seems to me, and I'm not, this is a fair question, but you mentioned about having to lose to move on and reach a championship sometimes. Sometimes that's important. But, I mean, when you lose a big game, that's a killer. I mean, everyone's devastated when that happens. So it's not like you want to lose a game so you can get better and move forward, for whether it be a psychological thing or get players to work harder the next week for the next game or whatever. But tell me about that a bit, about losing to get better.
I think when you go into a game, like maybe a third round of the playoffs or you're lucky enough to make it to the Super Bowl and you lose, that the taste of defeat, you never want to face that. You never want to, endure that again. So I think it's a great learning experience. You learned, okay, what does it take to get here, and now what's it going to take to get over the hump and actually win this game at this level? So you, and you also have to, I remember walking into Gillette Stadium with a very young team. It's awestruck for these kids. They're walking into a 70,000 seat stadium. They're awestruck, and I think getting that out of their system, just like the movie Hoosiers, just so they know it's just a football field. We're just playing another game. It, you know, it's a lot of pressure for a kid 14 or 18 years old. So just getting all that out and learning from your defeat. I said to the interview committee for Triton the other day that when you win, you win. When you lose, you learn. And I really believe that you learn from your losses, and you figure out a way to get better.
Well, I like the way you answered that question. I guess the context that I was thinking of it is just to be transparent here is that I think of the coach that, you know, it's game five of the year, and they think they have a pretty good team, and they do have a good team, but they lose. And that was helpful for them to move forward to maybe get into the playoffs, go deep into the playoffs or something like that in that context. But I totally understand what you're saying. That totally makes sense that from season to season, you know, as a head coach establishing a program, a loss like that in the playoffs hurts, and it's something you really do learn from for sure.
And to your point, it is a good point. When you're playing in this current playoff format right now, you know, it's hard to go 8-0, and every week you're constantly looking at your power rating and where you stand, and you lose a game and you drop down a little bit, and the kids are into it and following along with it. So they understand how important each week is and how quickly you have to bounce back from adversity, that you can't dwell on it. And we do a good job with that. We don't harp on last week's game when we watch film. We pick out the good things, we pick out the bad things, and then we're moving on to next week's opponent and spending more time watching film on them than we are dwelling on a defeat.
Yeah, and not to belabor my point, my question here, but I mean, you want to have a wake up game as a coach at week three rather than this second week of the playoffs. You need that wake up call earlier. You know, you don't want to have that call in the playoffs for sure. Is where I guess I was going with that. Maybe
right. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Hey, you know, I have one last question. You touched on something earlier, and we follow athletes, student athletes, and for example, we're involved with the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Program, where every month there's two winners for the Athlete of the Month awards, and then a yearly winner. And you have a lot of multi-sport athletes, and sometimes it's what you. You know, these athletes are so good at a couple of different sports. You really don't know, you know, and these are guys that are going on or women that are going on to play at the college level, what sport it is that they're going to do. Is it hockey or is it lacrosse, whatever? Where are they going to play in college? And you don't know because they are so rounded. And, you know, that does seem to be a change. And it was a while ago that, you know, coaches were looking for single sport stars, and I think they still do for certain things here and there. But you are right; there is a nice trend to getting that well-rounded student athlete. Where, especially in the Cape Ann League, where you have athletes that are playing three seasons and really excelling at most of those their sports that they compete in.
Right, I think it's vital. I know from experience with the recruiting process that college coaches have kind of shifted gears. Yep. And they want to really see kids. When you're playing the same sport for 12 months out of the year, you're really only working one group of muscles, and they want you playing multiple sports where you're using all your muscles all year long. It first of all, it's injury prevention, because you're not wearing out the same muscle over and over again. And college recruiters like competition, whether it's track, whether it's basketball, lacrosse, hockey, baseball. They want kids competing. And, you know, that's the trend right now.
Well, Paul, that all makes sense. I'm going to let you have a final say here, an open-ended question. If there's something that I did not ask you about or something that you want to share with regard to Triton football, feel free to do it. Something I missed, you know. So I guess finally, what else would you add to our conversation here about Triton football or getting this position with the Vikings?
All right, I would just end it with it's an honor to be named the head coach of Triton Regional High School. I'm excited about the opportunity. I have a lot of respect for the conference and our future opponents. I've seen them play over the years. It's a very tough league with a lot of great teams, and it's a very well-coached league. So we'll have to be at our best to continue the growth of the program.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure we'll be in touch soon as the fall is not that far away. So, Paul, thanks so much.
All right, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Yep. Paul Sobolewski, the new head football coach at Triton Regional High School with us here on MSONewsSports.com.